You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. And I'm Luann Linekin, and I'm with James Wrench.
Say glory.
Hi. Glory to God. So happy to be here. We're on WCNO every Friday at 5. So join us, tell a friend to join, and we discuss topics, you know, in the Bible and life topics and issues, and hopefully people are receiving. That's my prayer all the time for everyone that listens to Kingdom Recovery and learning about kingdom mentality, not just being a Christian. And that's a big deal. But going further in our walk with Christ, right, our following of Christ is being a citizen as an heir with Christ in the kingdom of God. So we want to have that kingdom mentality. What are the rights that we have as children of God? You know, he's our king, the king. We're children of the king.
Amen.
That's so exciting. So we've been talking about, well, let me pray first. Father God, thank you for this time with James and David and everyone here at WCNO and all the listeners. Thank you so much for carving out this divine time to hear your word, break bread with your word, share your word, and just speak your word. So Holy Spirit, just have your way with me today and James, and let what we say penetrate the ears that are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let it be your word, Lord. And your will. Okay, so we're talking about surrender and what does surrender look like in the spiritual sense, in the kingdom of God, in that kind of mentality, and not just in our fleshly sense. You know, because when we think about the word surrender, immediately it's like, what do you mean? You know, it gets defensive, right? And how do you surrender in the natural sense, spiritually? You know what I'm saying? Like, so when you understand the spiritual meaning of surrender, there's a natural action that we need to take in our body, in our thinking, in our minds, in our hearts, right? So we're going to be talking about that, and that's in turning your will over to the care of God, your life and your will over to the care of God as you understood him in the beginning, right? So we go back to the beginning. We're in the garden. Before Adam fell, we want to be in God's presence in that place before Adam. And that's what this surrender is about, too. It's about getting ourselves back in that position with God. Even though we are born again, we have salvation, but now we're talking about sanctification, daily walking with God. It's a daily bread. It's a daily activity. We want to spend time with God daily. I mean, if we're married to him, if we're co-heirs, co-joint with him, then we want to, and we're following him, we need to do that on a daily basis in our lives today, right now, not when we die, and, you know, not after I'm done with this thing that makes me feel so good. That's what surrender is. It's about putting my will down and picking up his will, his way.
Amen. And we're not trying to say you have to earn anything.
No.
But we are saying that there's things he told us, and if we disobey, there is consequences.
Yeah, you know? And he's trying to teach us a lifestyle that's worthy of even peace and joy and all those things, that we can't enjoy those things if we're not living in his presence. So it's a lifestyle drawing us near to him, closer to him. So that's really what we're talking about. It's not about condemning anybody. But we will be talking about things that I know for myself in the beginning were hard to digest. I didn't want to eat that stuff. I wanted to get up at the table and go to the dessert buffet. But I had to stay. I had to stay where the meat and potatoes were. Because it's healthier to eat your proteins first before you eat the sugar and the dessert and the sugar-coated stuff. Right?
Yeah, we give them a piece of our heart in the beginning, you know, usually. Some people surrender totally, but a lot of them just, they'll give, you know, and he works on us that way.
Amen.
He's so kind.
Mm-hmm. So you surrender by obedience to the voice of God. His word is his voice. And if you're listening to his word, if you're reading his word, if you're speaking, that's the way we hear God. And we also get a voice impression inside, too. And sometimes people will call it God conscience, you know, like we hear you're having a conversation. But I will say this, that until we start to surrender the noisy things in our lives, it's going to be really hard to hear God. His voice doesn't go higher or lower. I mean, it may sound like it does, but what it is the less of the world we have, the more we can hear him. That's really what it is. It's that still small voice where it becomes just his still small voice when we put things down, as we lay things down in our lives that don't line up with God's word. That's why we need to know him. So in John 3:30-36, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is on the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on them. And it's not, so when we say the wrath of God, it's God hates sin, and, you know, he needed to create a way out for us in sin by separating. It's almost like day and night, right? He separated good and evil. And that's why we weren't even supposed to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because before Adam fell, they didn't need to know evil. They were living.
There was only one.
There was only
they could
goodness.
Do wrong.
Yeah.
Eat the tree.
Right.
That's all they had.
That's it.
Not like us. They had it made.
Yes.
Wish we just had a tree we didn't have to eat from. We could do anything.
Amen. And you know, and before they fell, they weren't aware of the flesh. It wasn't something that they struggled with before that. It was spirit. They were walking in spirit in the coolness of the day with God. And God wants us in that position with him daily. Every day, you know, and so when we find ourselves not in that place with him, we need to repent. Really, that's all I can say. I know I'm skipping some of my words because it just came out. We need to repent and then turn our way from being in the wrong direction to God's direction. You know, and it's not, repentance is a lifestyle, right? It's not about regret and guilt and shame. Because once we repent, he tells us, you've been forgiven. But I don't know that if I'm not listening to him and I'm too busy doing my own thing. I won't even know, and I'm going to be living in guilt, shame, remorse, and all those dark curses because I've separated myself from him through that not surrender. So the more of yourself you surrender, the clearer you hear God's voice. And that's just, I mean, through my own experience, I've experienced that. And sometimes when I find myself struggling, like, where's God? It's because maybe I'm being impatient. I'm not in the right place. Myself, God never leaves or forsakes. It's me shifting myself, not positioning in the right way where I can follow him properly. I might be stumbling, you know, looking at things on the left and the right that are catching my interest a little more, and then I'm losing my focus. And God says, stay focused on Jesus.
And I just want to say, because I started to before, and then that's kind of dropped, but it came up again.
Good.
As far as God speaking, and we talked about it one day, we taught on it, just he speaks in different ways, and impression, thought. Mm-hmm. He can give you thoughts. Those are very subject to being wrong, but he can speak very important things through thought. And some people are more keyed in the way their brain works with thoughts. Impressions is a way he speaks a lot. A knowing, which is a little stronger, more accurate, is a way he can speak. And he can speak internal audibly, external audibly. And he also speaks through visions and dreams. So you might need to learn the way he's talking to you. You think he don't talk to you. I just feel like there's people listening that think, God don't talk to me. But then you do the thing at work or whatever it is. You're like, I knew I should have done that. I just knew it. It's just the Lord on you, and you're not even realizing it's him talking to you because you're waiting to hear a voice.
That's right.
That's not the way he's necessarily going to speak to you.
And sometimes other people. He speaks through other people. Yeah. You know, he knows exactly who to surround you around when you're praying to him about things or talking with him. He'll bring, you know, he'll have divine appointments. So when we surrender is giving up my right, my free will to God. Because we get free will. Either I'm going to give up my free will to the enemy or to God. And when I say the enemy, I say worldly, fleshly desires. When I give up my will to drugs, money, sex, relationships, my children. I mean, things that sometimes you think are good. I love my kids. Of course I do. But they can't come first. God comes first. Jesus first. And if he's not first, it's almost like going back to the original plan in the garden. We have to go before Adam, where Jesus was. Jesus was before Adam. So go back to before Adam in the presence of Jesus, God. You know, and then you're in the right standing with God. You're in the right place with him.
Just real quick, when she refers to Adam too, earlier she was talking about him, and I thought, well, maybe there's people that hasn't even heard that, but Jesus came to restore the kingdom of God because Adam gave it to Satan. Satan became the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And Jesus came to bring it back, but the kingdom of God operates through faith.
And amen. And that's it. So, you know, Peter said, have you received since you believed the Holy Spirit, you know? So they have the believing and faith and then an indwelling of the Holy Spirit coming in to us, right? So, and I was going to say something else when you were saying that about Adam. It'll come to me if God wants it to share it. But in Matthew 7:21, it says, I never knew you, right? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Let me read that again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So we need to line up with God's word. We need to know his word. We need to spend time with God, people like-minded, so that we know when we're not in the right direction or where our thoughts are off. You know, sometimes it could be, last night I woke up in the middle of the night, and I haven't had that in a long time, but I'm going through projects again in my house. So, of course, you know, and I was sharing with someone else. Someone else called me today and said that they were in a similar situation where they were feeling a little off. And I'm like, you know, the enemy knows exactly where to harass or where to try to coerce us or talk to us. And it was in finances. And I'm like, I haven't felt that in a long time. And I was like, no, God will provide all my needs. Everything's going to be okay. And I had to really start speaking in the middle of the night to get back to sleep. And I did, thank God. You know, and then I prayed in tongue and I was back to sleep. And this morning I did footwork to assure that everything I'm doing is lining up the way it needs to, you know, in my finances and how I'm doing these projects, so that I don't give him a footstool, the enemy. and I'm taking care of, I'm managing properly. So the opposite of surrender is control. If you are still fighting for control, your will, your way in a situation, or trying to get what you want or keep what you have to yourself, for yourself, then you still haven't surrendered to God. You are fighting God for control because you don't trust him in that area. So maybe, and you might not even know this, sometimes, you know, like doubt, we don't even recognize it because the denial is you know, not even knowing at that point. But when you're struggling in an area, get scriptures in that place. So his word, we have to pull, draw into his word. So for me, it was about finances, that he will provide all my needs. And I have to, then the faith has to come in. I believe that. So I have to speak that so that the enemy knows he's been defeated. The enemy has been defeated. He needs to know that I know he's been defeated, because then he's wasting his time trying to harass me in the middle of the night.
Praise God. I really, whenever you want, I want to read a definition.
Oh, yes, for sure. But I want to say his word, doubt or not knowing his word. So when we're fighting control, it's because we don't either know his word or we're doubting his word. Go ahead.
This is just, I'm not sure what it was. I don't think it's Wikipedia. I don't know. I just hit it into Google and I thought, that's really good. So I wrote it down. The call to surrender or submit is step one in our sanctification and our growth in holiness. To do this is to voluntarily put ourselves under Jesus for his leading in my life. It is a step of humility to admit that I cannot save myself or change myself into the person Jesus wants me to be. And I also have an old, what do you call it? Dictionaries.
Encyclopedia. Oh.
The old Websters are really good if you ever you find them at thrift stores and stuff. They got real godly definitions, but I looked it up in the Webster. It says to yield to the power of another, to give up possession of anything upon compulsion or demand, to give up completely, to relinquish, to give up oneself into the power of another, a yielding or resigning of one's person or possessions of something into the power of another. Which, of course, is Christ, is what we're talking about. But
Amen. That
was just some good definitions.
Amen. And that's why in every area, whether it's having hard times in our relationships, in our finances, with our children. Listen, I'm only rattling things in my life that I had to put God first and surrender my will, my right, what I thought was my right. God did give us free will. It is our right to have free will. But what are we doing with it? He's saying, turn it to me so that I can fulfill all the things that I beautifully and wonderfully made you for. Praise the Lord. So Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And that's exactly what I'm saying. All our ways and everything that we do in our job, wherever we, day and night, you know, our spirit never sleeps. It's constantly, it doesn't need sleep. It's constantly communing. Our soul needs rest because it's so influenced by everything around it. You know, our spirit is protected by God. We're in the palm of his hand, you know, and the only way my spirit can ever leave God is if I choose to, by stepping out, jumping out of his hand, out of his protection, and thinking that something else is going to protect me or love me or fulfill me. I've done before I even knew him. And it's been a practice in turning, surrendering those things. Because in the beginning, I was believing not everything of the word. I didn't know him yet. But as I get to know him every day, there are things maybe in my life, and sometimes, you know, he'll shine the light, because the light comes from the out of the darkness. You know, it's like if there's no darkness, how do you know that where the light is? So it's in that dark place that God can shine. I can see his light. I even wrote down, it's almost like when you're drowning, but we learn to breathe in the water because the spirit can breathe anywhere. Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying is when it's like the deeper you go into the ocean, the darker the pit, you know, it gets darker and darker and the light starts to fade. But the more, the higher you go towards heaven, the lighter it gets in your life. Praise the Lord. So surrender means stop fighting and start trusting in the freedom and care of God. Jesus had provided for us. He's already provided it all. Walk by faith in God's plan. James had mentioned that. It's all activated by faith. Faith, when we say Holy Spirit activate, it's faith that's activating by in the Holy Spirit with our relationship, believing the Holy Spirit. You know, it's really our agreement with God's word and activating faith.
And faith is believing the word.
Yes. Amen.
Believing his promise.
That's right. Everything.
You believe by his stripes I am healed, you believe.
Amen. And if you believe that the enemy has been defeated, then the enemy has been defeated. I mean, it's just there is no gray areas in the Bible.
It says we even prophesy by faith.
Praise the Lord. That's right.
That's kind of weird.
We live by faith. But even if it's negative, even if it's the wrong faith, we're still going to live by it. I mean, I live by faith in that people, places, and things were going to satisfy and fill me and protect me and take care of me. And, you know, and listen, God does use people to, when they're lined up with God, it's in a different sense. It's not in the natural sense. It's in a spiritual sense, you know, that you're loved and protected and trusting and all that with people. Your relationships change because your relationship with God is right.
And the enemy talks loud, you know, we don't ever forget that. I mean, I believe when we're born, we have like our spirit and our soul is more on an equal level. And then we listen to the soul, or you have a dream from God and your parents are like, oh, that was just ignore them. You know,
yeah.
That doesn't mean.
Yeah.
And we're constantly shutting it down. Then we get older and our soul is so loud and God's voice is so learning to, you know,
muffle.
Quiet yourself to be able to hear him. Because the enemy, if your child or your wife or husband is late or something, how many times have you heard, oh man, I bet he's getting a promotion, or oh, I bet my child's being held at school late because he got on the honor roll, you know? We're always hearing bad, you know? You never hear anything good. Think about that. Everything in your head talking is bad. Mm-hmm. It's always, oh man, I wonder, you know, if he's in an accident or if my spouse is cheating on me, or, you know, it's because it's just the yak of the enemy.
Amen. And you know, oh, that's what I wanted to say. Praise the Lord, you know? This is incredible, because when you were talking about Adam and the cool of the, we were talking about before Adam, Jesus, the enemy is the air. We could change the atmosphere. And that's what it's about. It's about the atmosphere, you know, attitude of gratitude. And we can change the flow in a room from negative to positive just by allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way with you. One person in the room, one person in a relationship, one person in a situation can change the atmosphere when they co-join with God, Holy Spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to invade their heart, their mouth, their body, basically.
Amen. I've had people just like coming over to my shop and sitting there because they say the peace in that shop.
Amen.
You know, or the landlord want me to come when he had to scold everybody about the parking lot. He's like, I know you don't have nothing out there. Can you come? Because there's a peace about you that you bring, and I really like you to be in the room. I'm like, okay,
amen.
Praise God.
Yep, it's the Holy Spirit. So in order to receive what God provided, and you've already received it in we already have everything, but in order for us to receive it truly in our life right now is to believe what the blood provided for us. If I don't believe it, I'm gonna miss it. I'm not gonna even benefit from it. I have to apply the blood in my life.
Amen.
Right? It's up to me to say, hey, that's mine. That God, my daddy did that for me. That's mine. You know, like we're little kids. Be a little kid.
And when we apply the blood, we're applying what Jesus has bought with the blood.
Amen.
Whether it's healing or whatever it is.
And we really need to know. I mean, we really need to think about. I shared that with you the other day, that I did a whole thing reading and like I investigated, because I like to do that, especially when God talks to me about certain things. But about crucifixion and what it was like in those days. It's demoralizing. It was the highest in history. They're talking about in the history of mankind, crucifixion was by far the most crucial, dehumanizing.
Cruel, not crucial.
Oh, cruel. Sorry. Thank you. Dehumanizing way of punishment for and God was innocent. Jesus was innocent. So they did it. You were naked. You were public. You were whipped. You were ripped apart. I mean, they wanted because they didn't want they wanted people to be affected by not living by the law of the land. They wanted people to live in fear.
Yeah,
to live in fear, right? And that's how they did. And he was innocent, and he got the most torture out of a crucifixion death sentence. But that's what they did, and they would leave you there for days.
Yeah.
You know, I think the longest
he suffered a death.
Crucifixion was 9 days the person last on the I mean, this is brutal. You know, you got birds eating you. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is brutal. And Jesus did that innocently for us.
Came to earth as Hallelujah. God left the
I mean,
throne to be born of a woman, put himself in the womb of a woman just for us.
Right.
Why would he do that for us?
Right.
To restore what was stolen by the enemy. Not for a bunch of worms. No, we were King's kids, his kids that went astray. The devil got in. He came to bring us back. It's like, hey.
Praise the Lord. He's so good. I mean, and when we really, really sit and meditate on that, my heart just, it like wants to explode because of the love that I feel that I, when I'm talking and thinking about what Jesus did for me and everyone else. Praise the Lord. And I pray that people that don't know that start to get revelation of that by the people that do know it, talking about it. Praise the Lord.
And a lot of people know that he did that for others, but they still can't self-relate
personally.
This is for me.
Amen. So take up your cross, and follow him, right? Your life, who you are, your will. Luke 9:23 says, "Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. And follow me." So it's a day. That's a command from Jesus. He's saying every day. You can't just say, "Oh, I know Jesus. I follow Jesus," and then live your life the way, like all hell's breaking loose, because Jesus is not in hell. He already went to hell. He got the keys, and you have the keys if you choose to use them. A lot of us are still in bondage, and the hooks of the chains are open, but we're sitting there because we don't know that we can walk out of that darkness. Praise the Lord. Matthew 16:24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So there's two scriptures on. I think each gospel has an interpretation of Jesus saying that. So let go and let God. We say that, and what does it really look like, right? Let God direct you, lead you, guide you, walk in the Spirit. Live a lifestyle in repentance, not regret. When I repent, I prepare the way. I clean the wreckage, the path, or the road for the King to walk before me. You know, it's like you want to roll out the King. We're in the presence of the King. We want to make sure. I mean, if the King was coming to my house, if Jesus was coming to my house, I'd make sure my house was clean. I'd be like, Jesus is coming, everybody. You know, I would wash the animals. Everybody would be ready and prepared for Jesus. Hallelujah. So we want to live a lifestyle worthy of the King, you know, in our own life. Prepare the way. Matthew 3:1-2 says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is at hand." And in Acts 2:38, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us all the time, right? But we want to be indwelling, infilled with the Holy Spirit daily. If I'm full of junk, there's no room for Holy Spirit to fill me in those places. He's patient. He's long suffering. I mean, if we want to learn about long suffering, just think about how long God waited for us. I could just imagine, just like any day now, when in my life, right? And so we have to get rid of that stuff so that we can have more of Him and less of us filling in inside of us. Okay. So in Acts 26:20, it says, and this is the Amplified Bible, because I read them, and this one really was a little bit more defined. And so this is Paul talking to King Agrippa when he was accused of blasphemy and, you know, all because he was, you know, he was preaching the gospel, Jesus. And the Pharisees didn't like it because they were from the old thinking, and it was a threat to them, what he was saying. So this is him talking about his encounter with Jesus. He says, "But I openly proclaim first to those of Damascus, then at Jerusalem, and throughout the region of Judea, and even the Gentiles, that they should repent, change their inner self." Praise the Lord. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
"Their old way of thinking, and turn to God, doing deeds and living lives which are consistent with repentance." Can't say, yeah, when I was feeling like I was going in the pit of, like drowning in the pit of depression when I first moved here,
mm-hmm.
I had a history, praise the Lord, I'm saved and delivered, but of mental illness. You know, where they Thorazine shuffle, okay? And even when my kids were little. And so that was a very dark, scary place for me. And I felt the pulling down in my life, in my heart. And I knew if I didn't, I just cried out to God because I didn't want to go in that. I didn't want to go in that direction anymore. I was tired of it. And nothing in the world could get me out of it, only God. And so I cried out to God. And the next day I'm in a meeting. Well, first he sends me a messenger, my ex-husband, right? To give me a little piece of my own pride. And I go to a meeting and it's a prayer meditation meeting. And that's exactly God talking to me about what I was lacking in my life was Him. I didn't have Him the way, I mean, I had a higher power, but not in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
In a very selfish, self-centered way, in a very worldly way, in a very woke way to satisfy to the masses. God's not interested in satisfying the masses. He's looking for the repentive heart. Really, He is. So, go ahead, James, you want to say something?
No.
All right.
I was just looking at it.
So when we say let go and let God, let Him direct you, you are captive to what you won't let go of. Oh, is that true? Free yourself from the bondage of people, places, and things your will believes will satisfy your soul. See, people, places, and things were always what I turned to. Even behaviors. If I just stop doing this, I'll be okay. That's not enough. That's why works doesn't work. You know, in the fulfilling area. I mean, works. Faith should motivate you to do the works, not works trying to get faith. It doesn't work that way. It's the faith that I have today that I choose to sit with the Word of God. I choose to, you know, not attend certain things that I feel aren't beneficial, that aren't going to feed me in that in healthy ways today. And speaking of that, I have a story. Can I share a story?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
It's a testimony. I was at jail, and I see one-on-one. You know, one-on-one, women one-on-one. So it's like counseling sessions before I do the drug dorm. And there was a new woman that she had, they were giving them trays to eat. So a lot of them don't want to come and have session when they're going to eat because they eat at very off hours and they're hungry. You know, they eat at like 4 a.m. and then their next meal. So when they get their food, they just don't even want to be bothered with people, right? So a bunch of them came in with the tray. I wasn't staying long, so I didn't have a table. I was just going to do one-on-one with 2 chairs, and there were 3 tables, and the other women had tables. So I said, why don't you go sit at a table, and I'll wait for the next person that doesn't have a tray. What happened was the one that was at the table was a Spanish translator woman. So there was a girl that came in that needed her. So she went to the chair with the Spanish woman, and I sat at the table with the tray with this new woman that I've never met. And she's like, so we started talking, and praise the Lord, you know, God was really moving. And obviously he was sharing things with her that only he could know. And then having Kingdom Recovery, because she needed to have a plan and things like that. So we were talking. She's like, oh, my God. She goes, I'm not even hungry anymore. I'm like, that's spiritual food. She goes, I feel so full. She didn't even, like, hardly even ate. She's like, I was starving. I wasn't even going to come in here. She goes, but something said. That's still small voice. Go in. She said, I would have devoured this plate. I would have said, you know, but I feel so full. I said, that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, my food is not of this world. It's spiritual. We just broke bread together. And she was feeling full and satisfied. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to share that. So, it, you know, that's just a testimony that, you know, God fills us. She was hungry, but she was thinking she was naturally hungry, but she was really hungry for God. And we all are. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You see Jay's face, he's like, because I do these things. I'm like, woo, my hands are moving and I'm excited. Go ahead, James.
Explain. No, I was just thinking about you. Earlier, I was like, I don't want to mess with you, but I was like, because you were just really going with your hands and describing them for quite a while. And I was like, if I could videotape you where they could see you, that would be good.
Yeah, that's that Italian. I can probably have a conversation without words, just with my hands. So David's laughing because he knows me too. So you free yourself from the bondage of people, places, and things, and your will. Believe what your will believes will satisfy your soul. It can't be what I believe will satisfy me. I have to turn my life over to God. Love what satisfies my soul, who will love you, save you, heal you, comfort you, secure you, protect you, empower you, prosper you. When I'm believing that only I can be able to find the things in the world that can do those things, then I'm not in God's will. I'm not in his plan and purpose. I'm not who he created me to be. I'm seeking the wrong things. You know, we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then these things that I need, my supply for the day, daily, will be met. And meaning, as long as they line up with God's plan. Not like, oh, well, I want $1 million, so I'll play lottery all day. It doesn't work like that.
Amen. I was just thinking how everybody, they have their parts they believe they want to receive out of the Bible. And like if someone's preaching on it, they're like, amen, amen. But if you start giving some truth they don't agree with, which is still right out of the word, it gets real silent. And it's just laying there our whole life down.
That's right. So I'm not talking, James and I are not talking about the day we surrendered and got saved, salvation. We're going on a daily basis, our walk with Jesus, our walk with the Holy Spirit, a daily walk in spirit and truth. I'm talking about daily surrender of myself, my will, to God's care, his care. What is he providing? What does God's word say? Who is he? You know, he asked Peter, who do they say I am? And let me tell you, I believed what everybody else was saying about God. And that was good enough for a long time for me because I still wasn't done having it my way, like Burger King. My will, my way, right? And then it until I felt enough darkness, enough pain. Pain is a good motivator, you know, enough failures of things, trying to fill myself with things that weren't working anymore, that I had to get to a place where I was done. And surrendered to God. And then I got salvation. And now a daily surrender is sanctification. It helps me keep my heart pure.
Well, it brings the blessings. I just want to say, you know, like just seeing, I mean, I could go on for 5 hours of the people, even this Sunday after church, I didn't tell you that someone came in there, they had broke their back and then they reheard it. and I sat him down. The Lord always has me sit him down. They didn't go the first 5 years. I never had to sit him down, but take this feet, and it was like over an inch short. It was short. I'm praying, and it's not moving. I'm like, do I really want to get into this right here? And finally, I'm like, sir, some unforgiveness. If you want, I'll pray. God will show you. Holy Spirit wants to heal you. He's on our side. You're not fighting God to get healed, but the enemy's got it right here. There's a block. And I prayed and waited a few minutes and prayed. His leg came right out. Got up, had no pain. And he said, yeah, I knew right away who it was. Second you prayed.
Praise the Lord. And that's why we need to confess, repent, you know, and go to other people. People that are walking with the Holy Spirit, following Jesus. They know.
You see, you know, it's common if you're around healing, you know, like cancer dissolving and stuff. But if you were the one with the cancer, it's a big deal when cancer leaves, you know.
It is such
so
a big
much
deal.
Leaves oh through God. Unforgiveness. I mean, through forgiving.
Yeah, amen.
That's such a huge thing with cancer. And all the blessings come through surrendering our whole life to Him.
Amen. So surrendering my whole life over to the care of God, believing His word and following Him. So there's an action. There's a part that, you know, we want to marry God and His word and everything, or commit, make a commitment to God, or union, be one with the Father, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But yet we don't want to do our part. You know, a joining is two people doing something together, or even other people, you know, when we're in fellowship. You know, I'm going to be doing, I believe, a teaching on fellowship, friendship, and intimacy. And that's what God's looking for with us. That's it. He wants us to draw into Him and be one with Him.
Yeah, the church is kind of like a kid that he's turned 16. You tell him, hey, you do good in school. If you get at least B's, that I'm going to buy you a new car for your birthday. And then he runs off living with a girl and doing drugs and screw you. And then shows up, Dad, where's my car? Well, I told you. Well, I don't care. You said you're going to give me a car. You know, That's what we're doing with most of the Word of God. It's like, no, yeah. It's obedience.
Yes, it is. And that's what surrender is. So Romans 10:9-13 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. So you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's, you know, your body, your spirit, your soul, that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is justified. And with the mouth, and justify means as if I've never sinned, but I have to, it's a heart matter. I have to have pure heart. That means I have to clean the wreckage, and even if it takes moment by moment in the beginning. One confesses and is saved. So when I confess with my mouth, I'm saved, sanctified, salvation. But when I believe in my heart, sanctification. Hallelujah. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. I don't have guilt, shame, and remorse anymore because I have the word. I know who I am in Christ. I know who He says I am. I know who He is. I know what His word says. And when I don't, those are indicators. Feelings are indicators. They could be used for our benefit. We don't always have to, react to our feelings. We could respond. Wait a minute. Yield. Say, why am I feeling this? Is this a good feeling? Bad feeling? Should I be feeling this? Is it coming from God? Is it coming from the enemy? You know?
And that's where the enemy speaks.
Yes.
Spirits speak through feelings and thoughts. Feelings and thoughts.
That's right.
Feeling, you know.
That's right. And that's why we have to take captive our thoughts. God tells us this. Everything in His word is to help us. He loves us. It's like a daddy protecting us. It's His will for us. It's His will to love us, to protect us, to fill us, to give us the victory, to prosper us. Right?
Just think about it. You feel fear. You feel anger. You feel lust. Mm-hmm. You feel jealousy. They just work through feelings.
Mm-hmm,
big time.
Amen. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So let go. What are you still holding on to? What are you holding on to in your thoughts, in your words, and in your deed, in your actions? What are you trying to control the outcome of, the results, the circumstances? You know, I always say whenever I'm in something like that, it's fear of not getting what I want or someone taking what I have. When it's especially self-will and riot. So surrender means not my way, not by flesh, natural senses, or worldly resources, the remedies of the world, wives' tales, traditions of family traditions, right? But by spirit and truth. John 4:23-24 says, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. So God needs our vessel. Our flesh is very important to God when used properly. But if we're going to misuse and abuse for our own glory, our own benefit, our own satisfaction, then we're not surrendered one, and we're selfish. We're living selfishly. We're saying, God, I want to be the ruler over my life. If I'm calling Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, and he's the Lord of my life, the King of my heart, then he needs to own my heart, my life, everything I am. He's the landlord, the owner of all. So I have to give him all the chambers of my life, my heart. And the kingdom of God is, that's where the kingdom of God is, in my heart. Praise the Lord. So when we let go, we open our hands, which is a body part, our heart, which is our spirit, and our mind, our soul, to God so he can fill them, our hands, our heart, and our mind with his love. He shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. And that's in Philippians 4:19. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. So when we're living pure heart, when we're giving him his heart, our heart, our bodies are going to be observing his ways, our eyes, our ears. We're going to live, and that keeps us pure at heart, right? Psalms 24:3-4 says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Praise the Lord. So Satan uses the people, places, and things you won't let go of to keep you captive in mind and body. He can't have your spirit unless you give it to him, right? Because that's your free will. But he can have your mind and body if you're holding on to something that's more important than Jesus. And he knows it. He's going to use it because he's got your attention. Your attention's not on God. He's not where God's going to be. So
I just want to say we come in as a baby and he works with us. We don't jump all over him. Hey, you're sleeping with your girlfriend. I know you're all living together, but, you know, God will...
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will do a work.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It's just we got to, you know, give him time to do the work. But then there's people that's been known the Lord 20 years living, you know what I mean?
Because they use the saved by grace as an excuse to live the way they want. But you see, a repentive heart is a remorseful heart. It's a heart of love and reverence to God. It's a heart that says, forgive me, Father. And you don't want to do it. You want to change.
And the whole grace thing, that whole word, the definition that they changed in the Strong's Concordance to fit what we're doing in America, definition was God's divine influence upon the heart, the reflection seen in the life. It's him giving us the power to change.
Amen.
And people will see it.
Yeah.
that was what grace is.
That's
grace,
right. Yeah.
I mean, without grace,
it's to change into his glory and his forgiveness. Yes, his mercy.
But it's not to live in the sin and say, oh, grace.
No, that's a mockery, right? That's mocking God.
He just says, there's scripture there. Do I sin more that grace may abound?
Yeah.
No.
So James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So there's a submission that needs to happen first.
Yeah, and that's a big problem in the body of Christ, that everybody's rebuking the devil without submitting to God.
Amen. And that's also what you were saying about forgiveness. Go ahead.
Amen.
Go for it, James. This is your territory. Go ahead.
Well, it's just, I could give so many tests. Like, a lady had been to, had over 100 different faith ministers pray over, never healed. Then went to one guy, Thurman Scrivener, and he sat down with her and just talked to her about sin and repented, Amen. And she's instantly healed. And she'd been years, and there's, you know, tons of them stories. Yeah. A lady was healed with 17 Amen. Incurable diseases. I met another one, 16. And
praise God.
A guy, 21 diseases through repentance. I got on my videos, a lady of, I think, 18 or 19, that mm-hmm. one lady, diseases. But, you know, this gospel is awesome if we live in it.
Amen. That's right. Just try it's to alive, it, right? It? So, and with that, I just want to share that Pastor Tom's coming next Friday to talk about, we'll probably touch on this, you know, kingdom, because we're going to be sitting at the king's table. Well, we always sit at the king's table, but it's kingdom recovery, kingdom mentality, inviting people to come and sit and hear kingdom thinking, you know, on this. So humility cures worldliness, control, and pride, ego. That's worldliness. When I want it, I want the world's goods over God's goods, over the word. And it, usually it's self-centered and selfish, you know. And humility cures that, cures control, pride, the spirit of pride, control. So we don't have the power to control, but we do have the power to surrender. I can't follow Jesus if I want to lead or put other things before him. If I want to be the leader before God or pick other things to lead me, then I'm not following him. The Holy Spirit, I'm not giving Holy Spirit full reign of me, because he's never going to follow anything besides Jesus. That's Father and Son, Holy Spirit. So a living sacrifice to God, Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And Jeremiah 29:11, which I know a lot of people know, is, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Knowing that, if you can just get that deep in your heart, that's like just that one scripture can help you to surrender in things. He's going to give you everything. He wants you to have it all. The peace, peaceful thoughts, peace of mind. That's what we're all looking for. Peace. Praise the Lord. So seek God's direction, his word, his plan, his purpose, his creation, you. And supply. Seek those things that he wants to supply to you. He created you. He knows you. He knows what you need. The bottle of vodka didn't know what I needed. God created me. The creator of me knows what I need. He knows how I function. He made me. He made you. Everybody listening. So he's the only one that can fix you. Basically. He's the designer. He's the one that has every tool he needs. He put you together. So he knows how to fix you when you're squeaky or when your arm breaks or when your heart hurts or when your brain is scattered. He knows how to do it all. Go to him. Praise the Lord. And Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. God's not holding anything back. We need to go to him. God is looking for the surrendered. Victory comes in the surrender to God, in his word, in his way, because he's the one who has the victory. So I can't get the victory if I'm not one with the victory, with the victor, God. And if Christ lives in me, the victory lives in me. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, instead, God chose things the world considered foolish in order to shame those things they are think that the sorry in order to shame those who think they are wise, and he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. So he uses the ones that are humble because it'll turn somebody's head. We have 1 minute. I'm going to end with this scripture, and then we're going to pray. 1:30. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we live by faith, not by sight. Praise the Lord. So I just want to remind everybody listening, God loves you. I want to say that first. And he's waiting for each and every one of you to just come to him in all those areas that you're feeling weary or weak or confused. Just go to him. All right. And you're listening to WCNO, Kingdom Recovery. We are every Friday at 5 p.m. And next week, Pastor Tom is coming to talk with us at the King's Table. It's our new segment, and we are going to be talking probably a little bit more about his views with the Lord and conversations on this topic also. James, do you want to say anything and pray for us?
Just want to say that if you're struggling with something that's, you know, is against God's word, a lot of times there's spirits involved, and he knows the struggle. It says your heart trying to fight against it. That's what matters. It's if we just disobey out of a, no, I'm not going to do that. That's when we grieve the Holy Spirit, and he pulls back. So, Father, we ask you to bless us and bless everyone listening, Lord, and we thank you for this day in Jesus' name.
Amen. Shalom, shalom. God for you. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
I have paid the price to set you free.